We'll plan on that. Philippians, the third chapter. Let's review. Today, now I'm going to try, all right? I don't want to drag. I've already preached the impact, I-M-P-A-C-T, and now this is the practical side. So I'm going to try today to squeeze it all the rest of this into one message, all right? So you just hang on tight. We'll get there. I is for invest. Before we get started, let me ask you this question. As we're going through the list, I want you to ask this. Has God called us to do this? So has God called us to invest our lives into other people's lives? To take our time, talent, treasure, and compassion and invest it into other people? Yes, so if God's called us to, that's an important thing. We'll get to that in a minute. M is for minister. Minister our gifts, the gifts that God has given us, the gifts of the Spirit, to and through the church, to the body and through the body to other people. P is for pray so that the house is shaken. Pray in such a way that it actually makes a difference. And A is for add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. I missed one. Whatever, you get it. Add to your faith. C is for conform or change. I hear both of those each time. I don't know which one I gave you now, so we'll just use them both. Conform or change. Let God actually then take what we're adding to our faith and have it make a difference in the way we're living out our lives and the testimony that we're presenting. And T is for tell, to tell other people about Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 3 starts out verse 12, not as though I had apprehended. I don't think I had already attained, I'm sorry. I don't think the Apostle Paul says, I don't think that I've already arrived. You know, this is the concept right here. We've got to really grasp this. If we think we're already there, Pastor, I'm doing that, got the T-shirt, I don't have anything else to do, then you are not on the same page as the Apostle Paul. Do you understand? The Apostle Paul, nearing the end of his life, says, I don't think that I've yet gotten to where I really need to be in my walk with Jesus Christ. I don't think I've yet accomplished the things that God has called me to accomplish. Not as though I had already attained. The Apostle Paul talking says, I don't think that I'm there yet. Keep reading, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now, if in our case, our one thing is six things. All right. Our one thing is to ask God to help Southeast Baptist Tabernacle to have a greater impact on the community that he's called us to, on our families, on our church family, on our place of employment, on our school, that God would take our lives and magnify and multiply the impact that we're having. So I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And today, what I want to encourage us to do as we're looking at this is to press toward that mark. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help us today to look carefully at our own lives, and may your Holy Spirit do a work to draw us to your side. God, if there's someone here that does not know your Son as Savior, I pray that somehow through this message they would see the great love that you have for their soul and the great desire that you have for them to spend eternity with you in heaven, and that they would today come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And for every Christian that's here, God, may we take an honest look at what you're doing in our lives, and may we today yield and bend ourselves to what you would have for us to do. And Father, we're going to thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I actually can tell time. Now I have a watch. Now, my kids got me an Apple Watch for my birthday. By the way, thank you, Dennis, who came up and said, you know why you're getting cramps in your legs? Because you had a birthday. Yeah, I know. I'm getting old. So my son says, Dad, I'm going to remind you of what time to end, because my watch is supposed to buzz at me whenever. So, but you know what? I've been ignoring my son for years, so this is not going to be not a problem. Yeah, that's true. He does. Looks right past me. Anyway, so what I want to do today is give you five ways in which we can ask God to do a work in our lives that would change our approach toward each one of these things. if you, like I, believe that God has called us, that this isn't just your pastor's wishful thinking, and it's not just a series of letters that kind of fit together to have some kind of meaning, but if you believe that God has called us to invest our lives in people, to minister with the gifts that he has given us, to pray in a way that it actually accomplishes something, to add to our faith, and to allow God then to conform through that adding us to the image of his Son, so that we might go out in greater form telling others about Jesus Christ. If you, like I do, believe that God's called us to that, then we need to follow these things. This is just kind of your pastor's ramblings here of how can we get to this point where we're actually going to put feet to this. And it won't just be a banner that hangs on the wall, but it'll actually be something that is accomplished in our lives. First of all, we need to approach this with praise. Now, this is important. As you look in the Scripture, every time people are coming to God as God's people, not necessarily sinners, but as God's people come to him, they approach him in praise, unless it's repentance. And repentance is followed very quickly by praise. The idea is this. If this is a burden to you, you've missed it someplace. I mean, there's a, what does pastor expect from us now? If serving God is a burden, you're missing something. And you need to stop today and say, God, what am I missing? I do not want to end this life missing out on what it is you've called me to do. So we need to approach this with praise. This is what the Bible says in Psalm 40. It says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And I like the way this ends. And many shall, you know this verse, so, and many shall, what's it say? Say it out loud. See it. It's the strangest thing. They're going to see our praise. They're going to see the song that God, they see it. Because what God is describing is not just singing. He's describing a way of life. And folks, if we're not going to approach this with praise, there's not going to be much of an impact. If you're out there knocking on somebody's door, I'm here because pastor makes me feel guilty if I don't. That's not going to make much of an impact. Here, take this. Thank you. Come on, give me a break. You know, did you hear the song that the guys are singing? I am happy since my burdens rolled away, right? If your burdens aren't rolled away, then you don't have a whole lot to offer people. You know, we have a great message. It's the gospel. It's the good news. We have something worth talking about and worth living out and worth letting God do something. So let's approach this whole thing with praise. Secondly, have a plan. You know, it's an old saying. It's not Bible. It's just a saying, right? You either plan, let's see, what is it? You either work a plan or, what is it? There you go, I've got it. See, that's how old it is. You either fail to plan or you plan to fail, right? If you don't make a plan, if you say, yeah, I'm going to start telling people about Jesus, and you do nothing to plan for that, you know how many people you're going to tell about Jesus? Probably the same number you told last year. You get the idea? You got to make a plan. That's what the Bible is all about. The Bible says that we should strive for the mastery. We press toward the mark. There's a plan to the Christian life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So there's form to this. So if we say, yeah, I'm going to start making an impact, Pastor, but we do nothing to make time for this, it's never going to happen. So not only do we approach this, by the way, it's five P's, all right? I'm alliterating today. I'm turning into Michael Brendel. So I'm alliterating. So we're going to have, we're going to approach this with praise. And then we're going to have a plan. We're going to say, God, I want to be a witness. I want to let your word change my life. Therefore, I need to get into the word. I want to have some prayer time. And so we make a plan so that that plan can be carried out. Listen to some things that the Bible says. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. So the idea is to focus to get this plan to be carried out. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says that we should be to the praise of his glory. That doesn't happen by accident. We don't just wake up one day and we're glorifying God. We read the rest of Ephesians. You know what it's saying? It says we're going to live this way. We're going to follow a plan so that we might live in such a way as to bring glory to our Savior. Thirdly, we have to make this a priority. It has to be a priority. The Bible says things like this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest of it falls into place. I know we're all busy. We are. I don't know how in the world people survive this life. I really don't. Well, I like running water, and I like electricity, all right? I really do. But I could easily slip time backwards to where it was a much simpler time. I remember as a kid, I longed for Saturdays. Now, I've always been kind of weird about mornings, all right? Some kids, they long for Saturdays because they sleep until noon or 1. I'm not making that up. Kids sleep. In my Bible class, as I teach it, occasionally I'll say, okay, let's see. And we had one kid that slept until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, why did you bother to get up? What's the point? I mean, honestly, what's the point at that point? But when I was a kid, honestly, here's the way I viewed Saturdays. Saturday's my day, right? I had to get up and go to school every day, but Saturday was my day. And I didn't want to miss a moment of it. And so I was up earlier on Saturdays than I was throughout the week. That was my time, and I didn't want to miss any of it. Man, summertime came. I'd get up early. We lived with 72 acres of woods behind our house, and I'd just go for a hike. And those were the days, weren't they, when you didn't have a lot of responsibilities and every day was spent just kind of hiking in the woods. That was great. I would long for those. Now, I'm just like everybody else. I know we're busy. But if you're going to look at me honestly and say, Pastor, I am too busy to do what God has called me to do, then I want to remind you of what the Bible says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. There is no way a Christian can explain away to their Savior how time was a problem to accomplish what God called them to do. Considering God gives us the time and God gives us the call, they fit together beautifully. You see how this works? So how are we going to make an impact? Well, I'm going to approach this with praise. I don't want this to be a burden on our church. I don't. I don't want this to be something that we groan at every time we hear about it. I want us to approach it with praise. This is exciting. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to rejoice before our Savior. I want us to make a plan, and I want us to then make this a priority, that I'm going to have prayer time, ministry time, time with the Word so that I can add to my faith. I'm going to then take the time to dissect my life and make sure that I'm allowing God to conform it to the image of His Son. And I'm going to take some time to pray and invest, or to tell and invest my life in these other people. Fourthly, all of this is done with patience. This is not easy, but here's what the Bible says. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Okay, Pastor, I already feel like I'm so busy, and now you're wanting us to know God's wanting us to, folks. And what we need to do is just be patient. If you say, I tried this last week, Pastor, and it didn't work, be patient, right? Because they that wait upon the Lord. And I love the way this goes, because you know why we need to be patient? It's not just that we get tired, although that's there, but we get spiritually tired. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, if you start investing in people's lives, you're going to find out just how tiresome that can become. I promise you that you're going to find that one person who loves for having you invest, and you share your cell phone number with them, and they start texting you and texting you. And then they find you on Facebook and they e-message you. And it's like they just are always coming at you. Well, you know what? That's okay. What you do is wait upon the Lord. Because one day when we're patient, God steps in and replaces you. And then all of a sudden you're like, huh, they don't text me anymore. What happened? Hello? You did what was supposed to happen. You pointed them to Jesus, and they found their strength in him. Just wait upon the Lord. He'll renew your strength. And in fact, I love the way that verse goes on, because he says, you'll mount up with wings as eagles. You're going to accomplish more than you ever imagined you would have for the Lord. Mount up with wings as eagles. Run! Remember when you used to be able to do that, some of you? Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. So we need to approach this with praise. We need to have a plan. We need to make this a priority. And then we need to, what is it again? Wait on the Lord with patience. But there's the last one. This is good. Because this, folks, is where it all comes together. Hebrews chapter 11 is the what? What's the chapter? Hebrews chapter 11 is the great what? Faith chapter, right? It's the great chapter of faith, right? Often called the Hall of Faith, where it lists all these people who did incredible things by faith in the Lord. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it gives us a definition of faith. And sometimes it can be a little bit confusing. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, we understand the hoped for and not seen part in faith. We understand that, right? We can't see it. We walk by faith and not by sight. We can't see it. We're trusting the Lord. But the ultimate is when the substance and the evidence is added. See, listen, God doesn't expect us to just step out onto nothing. We step out onto his promise. And when his promise is fulfilled, the evidence is there. And that's when faith becomes really strong. For instance, we often use things like our finances with this one, right? I don't know what I'm going to do, Pastor. I'm backed into a corner. I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. I don't know how this is going to happen. I've asked for overtime. I couldn't get any overtime. Maybe I'll pray. You ever been there? And then you pray. And you go to the mailbox. Now, wait a minute. You know that the mail takes at least a day or two, but you go to the mailbox that day, and some company says, oh, you overpaid us by $17.47. Or somehow you get, somebody forgot your birthday and they send you a check for $50. And in your mind, you start explaining it away, right? Now, wait a minute. Obviously that was coming before I ever prayed for it. Right, that's what we're tempted to do. We're tempted to explain it away. But folks, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, as we're waiting on the Lord, and as we're following our plan and making these things a priority and not being burdened by them, but enjoying what God has called us to do, the God of grace and mercy allows us to see the fruit of our labor. Now, sometimes it costs us something. Sometimes as we're bringing in the sheaves, it's with weeping, remember? They that go forth with weeping shall doubtless come again. But the doubtless part is the great part. I'm not telling you that you're going to enjoy every moment of this ride. And I'm not saying that everyone you talk to is going to be happy that you talk to them. And I'm not saying that every prayer you pray is going to be answered the way you want it to be answered. And I'm not saying that, that you're going to invest in everybody that you invest in is going to be so happy that you took the time to call or to write or to notice that they weren't here. I'm not saying that. Sometimes it's weeping. But they will doubtless come again, bringing the sheaves with them. The God that we serve delights in showing us the reward of our labor. And what we need to do is then, that last P word is to look for the product. What is God doing? Look for the fruit that is going to be produced in our lives and in other people's lives. God is the producer of fruit. That's what he does. The God that we serve has a desire not just to fulfill a, you know, a nice little cliche of impact at Southeast Baptist Tabernacle, but he has a desire to bring us to the completion, to where we actually see the fruit of the labor. Are you ready to see God do something through you here at Southeast Baptist Tabernacle to make an impact on your work, your family, this church, this society, your school, fill in the blank, wherever God has, you know, the theme for the ladies' banquet this year is plant or bloom where you're planted. You know, wherever God has planted you, this is it. So here you are. Is that right? Is that the right theme? Did I say that right? So here we are. We're supposed to then allow God to do something at Southeast Baptist. So I told you every week for the last several weeks, the invitation's coming. That's today. That's today. I'm asking you, no, that's not true. If I'm asking you, you can ignore it. I'm nobody. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. But if you, like me, believe that God is asking his children to invest, to minister, to pray, to add to their faith, to conform to the image of Christ, and to tell others, then I'm asking us to follow the rest of what the scripture says, to approach this with praise, to make a plan, to make this a priority, to be patient, and to look for the product. Let's see what God will do at Southeast Baptist Tabernacle 2018. So here's what we're going to do as we go to invitation. I'm wanting all of us, Southeast Baptist Tabernacle collectively, to consider all five of those things. I'm going to assume that the praise part, we're pretty good about praising. I don't think we grouch and complain around here too much. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. I don't hear a lot of complaining, and if it's going on behind the scenes, keep it there. I don't want to know about it, all right? I don't hear a lot of it. That's great. So we got the praise part down pretty good. But I do think that sometimes we fail to plan, and to fail to plan is to plan to fail. Let's plan. How are we going to let God accomplish these things in our lives? For some of you, you need to start a daily, regular time in the Word of God. You need to allow the Word of God to become more of an impact in your own life so that then God can use you to impact others around. For some, it's like, how are we going to have a greater impact in our prayer life? Well, let's have a prayer life. Let's start there. Somebody was talking to me just this morning, and they said, I love this, by the way, and they didn't know what I was going to preach about today, but they said, hey, I've been talking to so-and-so, and I want you, Pastor, to pray about this because he asked me to pray for him. And so the person who was talking to me said, and I told him, I will pray for you, but I'd much rather pray with you. Wow, that's taking prayer up a notch, right? There is a greater impact. Yes, I'll pray for you, but would you allow me to pray with you? Let's get together and pray. I mean, let's face it, if we're going to, remember Einstein's concept? It's insanity to think that we can keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. If 2018 is going to be different, then our prayer life has to be different. For ministering, by the way, I'm about to challenge some of you, and you're not going to like it. But on the table out there, and I forgot, Pastor Andrew, as soon as we're done, if you can run out there, and they're in my office, and set them on the table, there are tests for you to take. If you say, I don't know, Pastor, what my spiritual gifts are, I'm going to help you. So there's tests for you to take. It'll take you about an hour to work through the test. I'm just warning you, all right? There's an answer sheet, and I'm asking you, you're on your own, you know, but I'm asking you, don't use the answer sheet until after you've taken the test. Now, the answer sheet isn't like a right and wrong, but if you read the answer sheet or how to figure out your test scores beforehand, then it might influence the way you answer the questions. And I don't want you to do that. I want you to answer the questions and then look at the test. It'll help you. Say, well, Pastor, I wasn't really signing up for that. Well, if we are going to plan, right? And for some of you, you say, I know what my spiritual gift is. Well, fine. Then tell me, please, how are you using it here? Because isn't that the point of the spiritual gift? To minister to and through the local church. So God has gifted you so that Southeast Baptist Tabernacle is a better body of believers, better serving our Savior, because you're here. So whatever your gift is should be put to work here. So you got to plan for that. You've got to prioritize. I just don't have time to fit that in, Pastor. You don't know how busy I am. I'm sure you're about as busy as the person sitting beside you and down the row and in front of you and maybe in front of you. You know, hey, we're all busy. Welcome to 21st century. I don't know what to tell you. We're all busy. You know, it is what it is. But if God has called us, then he hasn't called us to do something that we can't accomplish. So prioritize. I'm asking you to take seriously these things. I'm going to praise. I'm going to plan. I'm going to prioritize. I'm going to be patient. And I'm going to start looking for the product. But these first three are really the ones for the invitation. Are you ready to let God use you to make an impact?